turn with me to Exodus chapter 19, please. We have been looking at some stories where God shows up at a mountain, and this is a story that you will certainly recognize. And as we read along in it, I'm sure that you will be able to imagine the events of this story in your mind, beginning at verse 1. On the first day of the third month, after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words of the Lord and commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that your people will hear me speaking with you and always will put their trust in you." Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, 'Be careful that you do not approach the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death. They are to be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on them. No person or animal shall be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they approach the mountain.'" After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, "Prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations. On the morning of the third day there was thunder and lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very long trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, 'Go down and warn the people so they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them.' Moses said to the Lord, 'The people cannot come to Mount Sinai because you yourself warned us, 'Put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy.' The Lord replied, 'Go down and bring Aaron up with you. But the priest and the people must not force their way to come up to the Lord, or he will break out against them.' So Moses went down to the people and told them." Let me lead us, please, as we pray. Our Father, we stand with a whole group of people, those in the journey of faith who have gone before us and come out of Egypt and stand before this mountain where there is for them their first appearance of the living God. Help us to stand where they stood, to experience in whatever way we possibly can what they did, and to come to full understanding of how we as your people on this side of the mountain are called into the mission of Christ into this world. For this is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. This must have been quite a moment for Moses. 3 months before this story, he stood somewhere right on these grounds. But there was not a great crowd with him. There wasn't a nation out there. There wasn't a whole bunch of people surrounding him. There was just Moses and a burning bush. That's all he had. And there was the initial revelation of God. And in that revelation, Moses was commissioned to go to Egypt, and God would fight the battle with Pharaoh and all of the gods of the Egyptians. And now, these several months later, they are standing at the place, and Moses must have just thought to himself, there was no way I could have imagined just 3 months ago that I would stand at this place where a bush was burning and look out and see an entire nation. How inconceivable is that? How dramatic is that? How unbelievable is that? And all of these people are now standing at a place that was nothing but empty wilderness. And now he has a nation that God has called out. This is the first time that the nation is going to meet their God. They had seen and heard what God did to the Egyptians. But this is going to be the first meeting, like a first date, the first opportunity where an entire nation of people is going to wait to see what it is like when God consumes a mountain. Moses saw God consume a bush, but he had never seen him consume a mountain before. And I imagine even Moses must have thought, wow, I can see how small that bush was now. And now we await for the consumption of a mountain. That is going to be absolutely incredible. That is going to be awesome. So here are people standing, waiting for their first appearance from God, waiting for the first thing they will ever get as a directive or an invitation or a challenge or a word from God. What will that God say? What will he be like? Will we tremble in fear? Will we be embraced in love? Will there be 10 of him or one of him? What is going to happen? And Moses goes to the mountain. And God gives him very specific and direct instructions about how all of this is going to unfold. And Moses alone will go up the mountain. Interesting that on this one day alone, Moses had to go up that mountain. He's 80 years old. He had to go up that mountain 4 times and come back down and tell the people something that God said in preparation for it. Can you imagine an 80-year-old man up and down a mountain 4 times? Going up, God, what do you want me to tell him? God says something, goes back down. This is what God said, and the people say, we will do it. And up he goes again. Down he comes, up and down, up and down. And now finally he goes. And the great revelation begins to unfold. A cloud of darkness descends upon the mountain. At the same time, there are great and wondrous claps of thunder. There are lightning bolts. The mountain looks like it is on fire, and the smoke ascends up to heaven. There is a long and sustained blast of a trumpet that only grows louder and louder and louder to let people know that the king has come to the mountain, that this is an holy moment, that this is a revelation of God to an entire nation, nothing of which had ever been seen before in all of history. And God was going to come to a mountain. And as God began to descend on the mountain itself began to shake violently, and the people could feel the tremors under their feet. Can you imagine the experience of all that they saw? Of flames and lightning and the sound of thunder and trumpets and the ground shaking under their feet, and Moses is going to walk into that thing until they lose sight of him. And the people get their first glimpse of the God who called them out of Egypt. And they get to hear through Moses what God's intent in all of that was. It is one of the most beautiful pictures of Scripture, an image that is used throughout God's Word to describe how God gets people, how God creates His people to do what He's called them to do. And in this passage, God reminds the people that He brought them out of Egypt on eagle's wings. When a mother eagle nests her little ones, an amazing thing happens in that story. She is nurturing them and preparing them for their first day of flight. She begins to take away parts of the nest little by little. She nudges her baby towards the edge of the nest. And then she does something that I suppose would go against all motherly instincts. She actually nudges her little baby over the edge of the nest. And as that eaglet, that little eagle, begins to plummet down to the ground and rocks, where in just seconds it will lose its life, the mother leaves the nest, swoops down, and catches it on her back, and brings it back to the nest. And God says to Moses, "That's what I just did to you, to that entire people, to a whole nation. I nudged them out of Egypt. They felt like they were in a free fall. For although they were enslaved, although they were oppressed, that's where their homes were. That's what they knew. And I nudged them out of Egypt and came around, and as they fell, I swooped them on my wings, as if in my mind to bring them right to the Red Sea and just watch that open and an entire nation on eagle's wings just fly right through it." And God had a purpose for all of this, as you could imagine. He had nudged a people out of the nest. He had allowed them to fall freely until He dove right in under them. For this purpose, all the earth was the Lord's, but there was not a single nation that was the Lord's. And God said, "I will rescue a nation that will be mine." As a matter of fact, here is the distinctness and the uniqueness of this nation. They will be a kingdom of priests among all the nations in the world. Now, as you know, a priest basically had two jobs. One was to go to the people and offer the grace of God and offer what God had said, and the other was to go to God and bear the burdens of the people. The priest stood in between the people and the living God and communicated back one to the other, but stood the gap between a holy God and a people who long for salvation. Can you imagine what God's intention was when he said to Moses, I want you to tell this people, I don't want one priest. I don't want just Moses to be a priest. I don't want his brother just to be a priest. I don't want just one of the family line to be. This is the deal. God has said, you know what? I'm not going to call you to be an army. I'm not going to call you into political careers. You'll have your kings, you'll have your armies, but I'm going to do all the battle for you. Here's what I want from you. Here's why I swooped down on you. Here's why you're at the mountain. Here's why you have a future. There's one thing I don't have, and you're going to be it. You're going to be the whole kingdom of you, the whole entire nation of you. You will be a kingdom of priests to the rest of the world. Can you imagine a vision that large? One little nation coming out of oppression, standing at a mountain in the wilderness, God is going to prepare to be a nation of priests, an entire nation that will stand between the world and God. Now he's called a nation to do it, an entire nation that will serve in a priestly role. What an incredible, absolutely beautiful calling. And not only will you be a kingdom of priests, you will be a holy nation. And that doesn't mean what it typically means to in our Western mind when we think about holy, you're just going to be highly moral. It meant you're going to be dedicated to whatever God's purpose is. That's the original intent of being holy. You're set apart. And whatever God says you're set apart for, that's what you're set apart for. So if God wants you to do this, holiness means that he speaks and you take a step in the direction that God leads you. That's being holy. Holiness means that if God wants to accomplish this or that and he calls us or you to accomplish this or that, being holy means that you are listening to the voice of God and that you are moving in the direction that God has called you to accomplish his purpose and his mission in the world. And so God has called a group of people who just 3 months ago were living in oppression in the land of Egypt to be a nation of priests of all things. They're going to stand the gap between the living God and every other nation on the planet. And they're going to be a holy nation, whatever God says do for the sake of his name and for his mission, they will do. And then God shows up at a mountain. And the people get a glimpse of the God who wants to create them into a kingdom of priests and make them into a holy nation. The Apostle Peter picked up on this story, by the way. And in his letter, he referred to the people of Jesus. Would you like to guess ahead as two things? Guess what we are. What is one of them? I'll give you a hint. A kingdom of what? We are a kingdom of priests, and we are what? A holy nation. If you wondered what it means to be a follower of Christ, or if you had wondered what it means to be in community with the people of God, here it is right here and right now. God has called us to be the priest in a world which so desperately needs somebody to help relay to a very broken and hurting world what God is saying, what God is like, what God wants to do with people's lives that are in ruin and destroyed. He has called us to be a kingdom, not a kingdom of might, not a kingdom bearing swords and armor, not a kingdom that runs banks and businesses, but a kingdom that speaks the word of God and shows a very hurting world what the grace of God is like and what the love of God is like and what the invitation of God is like through Jesus Christ so people can do that. Did you know that you are a priest as a follower of Jesus Christ? You've probably thought, no, priests are that group of clergy. That's what we've made of it. How about let's get back to the roots of who we were? We are priests together. Every follower of Jesus Christ is a priest together in the world in which we live. And our calling together is to share with the world these words of God and then to turn back to God and bear the burden of the world back to God. That's what you do day in and day out. Wherever you go, wherever you work, if you stay at home, if you're whatever it is that you do, you are a priest of the living God, standing in the gap between people and God. What an awesome life to live. And we are a holy nation. We are the ones whom God, by His grace, has declared are the people who connect with all other peoples in the world to share His good news, to reveal His character, to proclaim His word, and to invite into relationship with the God that's not just on a mountain, but the God who is on the throne of the entire universe. Sinai was a mere glimpse of who He is. It was the hem of the garment. There's so much more. God has called us to be this people. And as we press forward in whatever ways God speaks to us as a people, may you be encouraged to know that you are a priest, but not a priest alone. You are part of a kingdom of priests all over the world. Wherever God has His people, you're part of a kingdom of priests. All of us doing the same thing, standing in the incredible gap between God and the world. And you are part of a holy nation. You have been set apart. You have been set aside to do what no other nation in all of the universe has been called to do. You have been set aside, we have been set aside, to hear God and move in that direction. And the image that sustains us, for me, perhaps for us, and perhaps for now, is when God nudges His people out of a comfortable nest. Let them experience the free fall. And as He comes around, right under us, swooping in, gathering His people, protecting His people, knowing exactly where we are when we are there, swooping right in under us and carrying us on eagle's wings to a place we could have never gone without it. And without Him, to a death that would have been certain and final. God still swoops in on people's lives all the time. God still swoops in on churches all the time. And in our own journey, God is swooping in on a church family that stands at the very edge of whatever the Lord says do. And whatever that is, this thing I know, that the eagle, the Father, will swoop in and will not let His children crash against the rocks or be dashed against the stones or lose their lives on the side of the mountain. For He cares for us. And He's got this swooping thing down to a very fine art. He doesn't miss. He swoops in and a future is born. A new life is gained. And off we go. And to whatever he calls us. I'm going to ask you, if you would, please, to stand with me. And I'm going to pray. After I pray, I'm going to invite you to come. And as we prepare our hearts as a church family for the events of the week, I'm just going to invite you to receive God's encouragement that as we are nudged from our nests, that we have the promise of his deliverance, of his swooping in right under us. And wherever he takes us, he takes us. And however he does it, it's fine with us, isn't it? After all, we'll be right on his back. I don't want to be anywhere else. So I'm going to invite you to come. And maybe you'd like to stand or kneel. Or if you would like for me or someone else to pray with you, we would be delighted to do that. Our Father, we thank you for a story that moved from a simple bush to an entire mountain, from one man to an entire nation. We thank you for the image that sustains this whole story. We thank you for the calling to not get too comfortable with where we are in anything in life. We thank you for the mountain ahead of us, upon which the glory of God descends. We hear the thunder. We see the blasts of lightning. We feel the earth tremble under our feet. We see the rising of the smoke. We feel the warmth of the fire. But we stand, longing to hear how in this day, at this moment, you reveal yourself to us, your people. We open our hearts and look for the revelation. And we do so in Jesus' name. As you sing, you come, right?